You know, I remember when I first started too, and I just had trucks because I was a landscaper, and all my trucks had "We Buy Houses" signs on them. And then the first car I got and that I could afford was a Ford Explorer, and it was relatively new for me. It was 5 years old, and the first thing I did is I slapped those signs on them. And people say, "What are you crazy? It's your first car you ever got." It's like, this is what bought me this car.
Yeah, right.
You know, I want to buy
the
more.
Beamer too, and probably did, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what bought my X5, my BMW X5 that I drive now.
Well, you want to laugh. I got Greg We Buy Houses cash signs for his new pickup truck for Christmas. His family thought it was a little off.
That's what you put under the tree all wrapped up?
What'd you get for Christmas? Truck signs. You want to laugh, he bought a house from them already.
Oh, well, you know, those truck signs are great because people will pull you over.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they see the sign, they honk at you, pull over. That's happened to me several times. You know, so that's good. Let's go into Robin. Let's go into how you screen your sellers. Now, do you actually take the phone calls, or what do you do?
I'm a little bit different. I know you talk to all of yours.
Yeah.
I don't. What happens is we put the sign out. They call the main office phone number here, and either Bridget or Robin, my office manager, take the incoming call. And basically they're asking just some easy questions up front. And also the answering service that goes on after 5 o'clock at night asks the same basic questions. I need to know who they are, best phone numbers, more than one, to get back to them. I'd like a work number, a home number, and a cell if I can get all three. Where the house is located, a little bit about it, like how many bedrooms, how many baths.
Mm-hmm.
Then the biggest question, and the only one that really concerns me, is how much are you asking?
Yep.
How much do you owe?
Yep.
And then the biggest question, the most critical of all, is why are you selling?
Right.
And the answer to that one really determines whether I'm going to go or not go. And so what happens is that form gets filled out. Bridget brings it to my desk and lays it down. Now, I'll determine whether I want to go see the house or not from that, and then I give it back to Bridget to set the appointments up for the ones that I want to see. The ones that I don't want, I write on there why I don't, and she can call back and tell the seller I'm not interested. For example, if it's in the war zone,
it
doesn't matter if they're going to give me the house for free. I don't want it. So I'll put in there, you know, the neighborhood's really rough, tell them I don't buy there. You know, and so depending on what it is, we'll determine how fast I go out and how quick it is. If it's something that's an absolute rant, rave, and slam and dunk, I'm going and I'll set the appointment myself immediately.
Hey, what happens if one of those people call your answering service?
They take down all the critical information and fax it to me.
Yeah. So are they trained to the point where they can recognize something that you might want to talk to a seller right away, or is it
something? It's automatic. If a seller calls in, Dave, they're faxing it to me the minute they hang up. That's what I pay for that service.
Yeah.
What I can tell you is, for me, I'm not really worried so much about my competition stealing my deals because of the fact here in my city.
Yeah.
I don't know. The competing big players, the ones that do more than 30 and up, don't go to my real estate investor meeting. And so they're not doing signs and they're not doing flyers. So I know if somebody got my flyer in the mail, it's not like there's four or five other flyers that week that they got. So, you know, they'll wait to hear back from me. And then if I can't satisfy their needs, then it'll end up they'll just start calling real estate offices later on.
Yeah.
What's funny is the other companies here who are competitors, they don't give any indication in the name of their company that they have anything to do with buying houses. It's like XYZ Real Estate. Well, how would you even know if you had a house that you needed to sell that's ugly to call them?
Right.
Unless it's a referral thing. So I'm the only one putting We Buy Houses cash signs out, and I'm the only one that does the flyers. The other people think it's way too expensive. Well, they don't think about selling the back page. So they're paying $835 for 10,000 of them to go out, so they don't do it. And so based on those two particular types of marketing, I know they're not calling anybody else, at least for a day or two.
Excellent, which is completely opposite from my market.
Right.
Because my market has appreciated so rapidly that when people are motivated to sell, first they're putting them on the market and they're selling because the first-time home buyers are paying $20,000 and $30,000 more than us investors would pay or even think of paying. But when somebody is actually calling an investor, they're ready to move today.
Yep.
So that's why either those calls go to my hip, my cell phone, or over to Tammy's hip, who's my sister, who I trained to negotiate. And we're out the door. I mean, you can hear my tires screeching out of the driveway at times.
Well, I can tell you, most of the sellers are calling me during the daytime hours from 9 to 5 when my office is open.
Yep,
so Bridget knows. If they say what they owe versus what it's worth, and there's a $20,000 spread there, they know to 911 my cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we get a lot in my city because we've had no appreciation. Where what's it worth? 100. What do you owe? 110. How many payments behind are you? 6. You know, I'm like, ugh. So at that point, you know, those particular houses are a lot of work for me as a short sale, and especially if it needs work to try to convince a bank how bad it is. Those I pretty much pass on. So, you know, you got so many coming in. As long as there's a good-sized pred, I'll go immediately. But otherwise, I'm going to pass.
Yeah. Hey, Robin, are there any things that you've just recently learned? I know you're taking all kinds of boot camps yourself. You give boot camps, and you go to them all the time as well to learn more. Is there anything that you just learned about marketing that you can't wait to try out?
Well, I tell you, a lot of people are having really, really good luck with their websites.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I said, the highest priced house in my city is between $150 and $160.
Yep.
The majority of folks are in the $100,000 range. So I was making the assumption that because most of the buyers I have are between $10 and $12 an hour,
mm-hmm.
that they probably are not internet savvy. And I think that's probably a big mistake. From what I've heard about other people using it for a credibility tool, when it comes to dealing with sellers, it's worth it to put the site up there and say, hey, to the seller, look, I've got a website, and here's some of the houses I own, and here's some of the houses, you know, that I've done. And that way, when a seller that maybe isn't in steep financial trouble, but they do want to liquidate their house, it builds an instant source of credibility for them that they can find you and know what you're doing and see something, things you've done. Really helps them feel more at ease to accept a cash offer from you and go ahead and take a little bit lower because they know it's going to close.
Yeah.
So that's something that we're looking at doing that I've been putting off now for a little while, thinking, oh, you know, my buyers wouldn't use that.
Yeah, well,
I didn't realize the sellers are actually going out there to check your credibility out.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's great for credibility. What are the mistakes that you're seeing other investors doing, especially since you're running your own REIA group there?
Well, some of the things I see them make is they spend a lot of money on marketing that is very expensive.
Yeah.
And doesn't pull a lot of leads. I'm
right.
the kind of cheapskate who wants to spend a little bit and get a bunch of calls.
Me too.
You know, and some of the dumb things I've done in the past is I've spent money on billboards.
Yep.
Typical billboard here for us is like $1,000.
It's $10,000 up here.
Well, you know, the big ones on the major highways here are unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, you know, I made a mistake of doing that 1 month, and one of my students just did it down on 95. He's getting calls from sellers all over up and down the coast.
Oh, yeah?
And he's spending a lot of time pre-screening them out that they're everywhere. And he originally thought it would be fine, and he'd just, you know, give the leads for Massachusetts to somebody in Massachusetts and give the leads for Rhode Island to somebody in Rhode Island. And, you know, anything out of his town in New Haven, he would pass around.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been a coordination nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
His phone rings off the hook, and it's all stuff that's out of his area, even though he's spending a huge amount of money every month. And I think he signed a six-month contract on the billboard, which was bad.
Hmm.
Probably the worst marketing thing I did is I did a radio show. I did a radio ad and radio commercials wrapped around the show. And what happened is, even though I followed what the gurus teach and put my phone number in there three times in a 60-second slot,
yeah.
the company that was taking the calls, if there were more than five people calling in at a time, they couldn't handle them.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so forget it. You know, they're in their car. They dial it up. It's busy. They try it one more time. It's busy, and then they're gone because, you know, they don't hear the ad again with the phone number, so you lost them. I spent probably close to $2,000 on a radio show with radio commercials wrapped around it and didn't buy a house.
Wow.
Had four or five calls that they took,
yep.
but then found out that all the callers calling in couldn't get through, and the four that had called were not, you know, there was – wasn't any indication to them what the criteria of what I wanted, and because you didn't have enough time in a 60-second slot. And as it turned out, it just ended up none of the deals were any good.
There's a lesson learned. Although radio does work in some markets, and it doesn't work mm-hmm. in other markets. It worked for me for a while, and then all of a sudden it stopped working. So
yep.
as soon as it stopped working, I stopped spending money on it.
Yep.
You know, that's what you got to do with all your advertising. Go with what works. Go with the horses that run, and the ones that don't, you know, toss aside. Make glue out of them.
I just said to myself, $2,000, boy, that would have been a lot of signs. You know,
yeah,
$2 a piece.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. Why don't you give me some advice that you would give or give our listeners advice for those that are just starting out? What would you have them do?
Hey, the first thing they need to do is get over the fear of finding the money that they're going to need to back themselves.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I didn't do, Dave. I stayed at IBM for almost a year and a half longer than I needed to. I made it through the cutting backs and the downsizing, and I stayed there because I could qualify the bank to do deals. Dumb. I didn't realize there were private money guys out there at all the REIA
oh, yeah.
clubs. I didn't realize there were people like you and me who had done a lot of houses that were out there that if I could just find one of them, they would buy wholesale from me. I didn't
Absolutely.
Know what wholesaling even was. So the first thing I would say for a brand new beginner, learn the wholesaling technique if you have no money and you have bad credit or no capital at all. Learn how to wholesale, which means go find the deal, do some little marketing, some signs, some ads, some flyers, get some deals coming, and then give them to the experts and watch what we do. And get paid along the way to do that. That would be the first piece of recommendation that I would have. Second thing I would say is, you know, don't be afraid to talk to the experienced investors and say, hey, if I find a top quality deal that's got $20,000-$30,000 worth of profit in there, would you buy it from me? Or could I partner it and I'll do all the grunt work, hunting all the contractors, trying to, you know, make sure the yard's cut and all that stuff is done so that it sells? And can we split it for a percentage, either 50-50, 60-40, whatever the case may be, and have the experienced person put the money up? So that gets you over the fear-itis of the first deal or two. And what I know, Dave, from past experiences, if I get a check, that helped the fear dissipate. You know, my first check was for $4,800. It could have been $48,000 for all I cared. It was still a check, more than I was making on my job. You know, the next one turned out to be $17,000, and the rest was history. At that point in the game, I was in, and nothing was going to stop me. And I learned to ask for help early on. And that's one thing I think students are afraid to ask for help from experienced investors, and they shouldn't be.
Who are very willing to give it, too, because we've all been in their shoes.
Absolutely.
Because I've been there. I knew how to buy 9 months before I bought my first one. I was just too scared to go out and do it, pull that trigger.
Yep, and me too. And I look back now, but if I had found one and took it to the biggest investor in town, he'd have said, yep, I'll buy that from you and give you a couple $1,000s, then you knew the deal was a good one.
Yeah.
You know? If the person who's done a couple hundred of them is willing to buy it from you for more than what you had it under contract, you were right. It was a good one. And that gets you past the fear. And that's the most important thing.
What type of marketing would you have a beginner do?
I'd have them do the flyers and sell the back page.
Yeah, it's
free. Because they're free.
Yeah.
You know, and if they can spend a couple $100, maybe $200 or $300, go get some of them We Buy Houses cash signs. You know, put them out. You know, put them out Friday night. You know, then the sign police don't care. And take them down Sunday night. I mean, that's what Greg started out doing, the new person in my organization. You know, within the course of the first 4 months, he had three houses. You know, he's not, the one that's the least profitable is like $16,000.
Hmm.
You know, and I mean, you know, it's an easy $40,000 for him. And, I mean, the ones on the truck are real cheap. I think they're only like $155 for a pair. You know, and they stay on the truck 24/7, no matter where you are or where it's parked. You know, so if they have a little bit of money, I think signs are probably the cheapest thing that gets the most calls coming in.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that. And you and I are actually going to be doing a marketing boot camp.
Yeah.
And teaching all of our techniques.
Yep.
And we're doing that once, sometimes twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to get people either that are just starting out to get a bunch of deals coming in to get their phone ringing consistently, or for people that have already been playing the game to get up to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited about doing that with
you. That's going to be awesome. And we're having it at a great place.
So if anybody wanted to find out more about that, they could also call your office or they could call my office as well.
Absolutely. And that's the panel of experts. That's going to be the greatest part of all. You know that.
That's right. That's when we're going to be bringing up people that have done over, 100 deals each?
Yep.
And they're going to talk about how they got started, what they do, what's working for them, what's not working for them, and they're going to share secret techniques that nobody knows about until they're actually going to get there, and they're not going to share them with anybody else other than at the boot camp.
Well, and the other thing, I don't know if I told you this, Dave, I'm making all the experts bring in 300 of what they use. So all the students that come to class, all the students that come to class will get one of everything that the experts have. So you'll
actually get to go home
with signs and business cards and flyers from all of us so that they're going to go home with this great marketing package and the vendors where to buy everything and the discounts that go along with all of it as well. So they'll go home with a big loaded armful of all the different marketing that all of us gurus are using. To actually, so they have it and all the copy that goes with it, so they can just easily change the company name and phone number when they get home.
And boom, they got a marketing plan.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They'll have one of everything as an example to know what they need to use.
Yeah, that's really good. I'm really excited about that. We're also going to have somebody there about web marketing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going
to be good. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yep.
For myself.
Absolutely. Hey, you know, I know you run three or four rehab, sometimes even five rehab boot camps a year because they're so popular.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody was interested in going to your rehab boot camp, how would they get a hold of you? Well, actually, you've got a bunch of different products, too, that you offer out there, a bunch of great products that people can learn with and make a bunch of money with. How would people get a hold of you or to see those products and talk to you about your boot camps?
Well, all they have to do is give the office a call. My office phone number is 203 area code.
Yep.
596-1538 for home buyers. There's a bunch of courses out there, just to give you an idea what's out there. We have a brand new beginner course called the Mega Money Machine. It's real cheap for them. We actually let people try that course. It's a six-hour course for a little bit for a 30-day trial period, so they can call and order that over at the office. Then there's three other ones that are out there, basically Retailing for All Cash, which is a 120-page manual and 7 hours of audios with me. That covers the four basic steps of my business: finding them, funding them, fixing them, and selling them. So that covers all the parts of the rehab business. Then we have rehab DVDs on how to fix a house up, how much it costs to fix a house, you know, all the different parts of roofs, plumbing, heating, and electrical. We break down the labor costs and the material costs and how many guys it actually takes to put a house back together so the students can get a hold of those. And then the last course is the advanced retailing. And basically that course shows you the progression that I've done, how I took $500 and grew it into $675,000 in 18 months. I also cover the 9 types of houses not to buy and the 4 quickest turning deals we've ever done. And we analyze those deals with credit reports, pay stubs, and bank statements of the actual buyers, and how we put those deals together at lightning speed. And then the last thing, obviously, is the boot camp. And that's 5 intense days with me in Waterbury, Connecticut, and all my staff and team and contractors and all that. It really give you everything about the business. If you want to learn retailing, rehabbing ugly houses, the 5 days with me gives you everything, including the accounting, the bookkeeping, the office management, and all that stuff that you need to put into place to make that all happen.
That's great. And you
so
know
they can just call the office. Again, the number is 203-596-1538, or they can even check it out on the website. It's www.robynthompson.com, and it's Robin, R-O-B-Y-N.
Well, Robin, thanks for coming on the line.
Thanks
and,
for having
being,
me.
Being on the toolkit, and looking forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, we'll see you soon, Dave. Thanks
okay.
a lot. Good
see
luck,
you,
everyone.